What's up, Atlanta? It's a Thursday with Turtle, and we got the 1.5 thing that Orin and I refused to figure out. We put up 1.5 fingers because we're here till 7:30. Hawks pregame comes your way then. Should be a fun one. Hawks are in San Antone to take on the Wembyless as he deals with the calf. Orin, the amount of injuries in the NBA right now are just bonkers, including our very own Trae Young. We'll talk to Caleb Johnson about that and the Hawks at the top of next hour. But you know the deal. It's me and you on the phones from now until 7 o'clock. The Braves, as we, Orin and I, had a very entertaining conversation last night, if you missed it, about giving Iggy Raisel Iglesias a $16 million one-year deal to come back. And then Mauricio Dubon coming back or coming to Atlanta in a trade for Nick Allen. Orin, last night after the show, I quote tweeted the Braves release about the trade, and I just put the Spider-Man meme because that's essentially what you're doing. You're just trading one light-hitting, slick-fielding player for another, although Dubon does have much more of an established resume in major leagues, and he could steal a base or two. He's like a 240 hitter, has like 30 career home runs in a decade of play, so it's not like he can't run into one like Nick Allen, but all that to say, that was interesting last night in Braves land. We'll talk Hawks, like I said, with Caleb Johnson. We will see. Am I going to – all right, right now I am digging myself a hole in these picks, and am I going to get desperate to get out of it here? Orin gained another game on me. He is 23-14, having an excellent season. I'm 20-17, pretty good. But now Orin's three full games ahead of me, and Georgia is a 43-point favorite at home.
Yeah, I know which way I'm going with that one.
Yeah, I don't yet. I have no idea because that could be the one that could be a swing vote, so to speak. So we'll see at 7:20. We'll make our picks. Do I think Georgia is just going to run up and down the field against Charlotte? And what does Orin think? But I want to know what you think. 404-726-0929. Let's have an honest discussion tonight, shall we? We always do, but I really want to get into the feels of it a little bit tonight. And what I mean by that is, last night we talked big picture because it was we were all sort of still shell-shocked about Michael Penix Jr. and the injury and the timeline, and we had Joe Patrick on trying to sort through it all. And okay, so now where are we? Well, here's where we are. Kirk Cousins is our quarterback for the rest of the year. And I want to know how you feel about that. I want to know your honest feelings about Kirk Cousins being the quarterback for the Falcons for the rest of the season. 404-726-0929. And I'm going to lay out a couple of different things that I think could be at play here. Number one, you could be like me. Orin, I'm two things. I'm emotional and I'm petty. I say that on this show all the time. So when Kirk Cousins did what he did yesterday, it just reminded me of how I swore up and down that unless this was the case where Michael Penix Jr. got injured, I never wanted to see Kirk Cousins in an Atlanta Falcons uniform start a game ever again, unless he had to because of this exact scenario. And his comments yesterday about, oh, well, you know, I feel good, but if I was injured, I wouldn't tell you anyway. What a clown. What a clown statement that was. And I know that there were some people, even on this radio station, that were trying to say no big deal. To me, it's a big deal. You lied to the organization. You were 6-3, 4-0 in the division, and the entire season collapsed, extended the post-game drought or the postseason drought, and you went on national TV and you admitted that you lied about an injury. I don't forgive you, Kirk. Sorry. I know you're choppy and jovial and had that big grin on your face yesterday with the media. I don't forgive you. Now, I want the Falcons to win more than I want you to lose because this team hasn't won a game in 5 weeks, and I just need something to make me feel good, man. But how do you feel? Do you actually want to see this guy have success in a Falcons uniform? The only reason I'm saying yes is because I have to. You know, if this team, you know, was 2-3 in their last, you know, five games and things were looking bad, but, you know, maybe the situation was a little brighter, I'd be saying no. No. But because this team has not won a game in 5 weeks, I have to root for him to play well. Now, I don't have to root for him as the person. I can't wait to the day where he is gone from this franchise. He made a mockery of you on national television, and then with the media yesterday, unprovoked, essentially doubled down on it. Like, that wasn't cute, Kirk. That was arrogant, and that was ugly, in my opinion, those comments. Now, I don't know how y'all feel about it. You can let me know when you call in at 404-726-0929. Maybe you don't care. Maybe you're just over it. Maybe it doesn't matter. And the fact that this team just needs to win a football game, that's where you're at, and that's where you're going to stay. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Because, guys, the reason this is important, and I am making it a big deal, despite what some other people have to say, is because this is, Oren, here's the difference. This is not a one-game fill-in thing like it was for the Dolphins game. We got to deal with this dude for the next 7 weeks. Like, let's really wrap up. Yesterday, I know, was the day to just talk about the big picture because I couldn't think about this week or the next couple of weeks after what we learned yesterday. Today, let's think about this, folks. Kirk Cousins is here for the next 7 weeks. How do you feel about that? That's what I want to talk to you all about tonight because to say I have mixed emotions about it would be putting it ever so mildly, a little sprinkling, as opposed to what I really could say if I was on a non-FCC platform right now, the things that I would like to say about this situation. But Kirk Cousins being the starting quarterback for the Falcons just, for me, draws so many mixed feelings. Because of the way things started last year, it's like, oh, can he replicate that? Can he give us a Tampa Bay game? Can he give us an Eagles game? Does he still have one of those in him with a full week of prep, knowing he's going to be the starter? Them admittedly changing things about the offense, putting him under center more. Could we actually get a couple of wins before the season's end? Guys, we don't have a first-round pick, so it doesn't, the wins and like there is no tanking here, so nobody's rooting for that. You don't have a first round pick. I mean, you could trade up for one, but I don't know. You don't have that many assets, so you're kind of stuck with what you got right now. So that's what we're talking about. Taking your calls as soon as we get back, 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, stay there. You're first up. You know the drill. Let's let it sink in, folks. Kirk Cousins is the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons for the next 7 weeks. How do you feel about it? 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas Turtle on Chris Thomas Tonight with you till 7:30. He's back, y'all. 7 games. Just everybody let's marinate on that for a hot minute. Kirk Cousins is starting for the Falcons for the next 7 games. How we feeling about that? Lines are full. Appreciate everybody checking in as always, so we're going to get right to you. Join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game. It's brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons Flyover immediately following every Falcons game this season on 92.9 The Game. I'll be with you, of course, hosting that each and every week. Don't forget, guys, 425 kick. Woof. Oh, boy. How do you think the NFL feels about that one? Yikes. Couldn't reschedule? The teams combined for 5 wins? Oh, boy. Well, hey, man, listen. You know what that means, Oren? I get to watch the early games, which is great, because if the Falcons play at 1, that's a one-screen experience for me. I got to watch every play. 404-726-0929. Saez leads us off. Go ahead.
Thanks for having me. I have a couple of thoughts. One, Kirk Cousins got his back, so he's going to get paid regardless. And two, like you said, we don't have a first rounder next year, so why would we tank? Why would we want to do badly? I want as many wins as we can. I know some people are like, if we lose a bunch of games, maybe they'll get rid of the coaching. I don't see that happening regardless with Arthur Blank's track record with coaching and how long he keeps them. So, yeah, let's get some wins just for the team. I mean, I want Bijan to do well. I want the team to be successful, obviously, and I know we all do. So regardless of how you feel about Kirk, you know, I want the team to win. Now, that being said, our O-line is broken right now. We don't have Drake London, I don't think, unless something changed today. Last time our wide receiver is down. I mean, so our run game has been garbage, and so I don't see anything good coming ahead of it. Honestly, I kind of hope that Stick would get, and I knew this would have happened, but I want the young guy to get in and get some reps. Obviously, Kirk is the backup, so it makes sense that he's next. But I want the team to do well, and I mean, there's no reason to hope for us to lose, in my opinion.
No, Saez, you're good stuff. Appreciate the call. One, I think the coaches are most likely gone anyway, Saez, so I don't think you're going to have to worry about that. Unless, you know, if they go 6-1 in the last seven games and Kirk looks like a guy that they should bring back next year, because that's the other thing we need to remember, too. Kirk, more likely than not, I'd say 85 to 90% chance, he's auditioning for another team, y'all. He carries a $57 million cap hit next year. And if you do a post-June 1st cut, you're saving like $25 million on that. So I don't know why the Falcons would keep him, again, unless he has six games in a row where he looks like the guy that set the single-season passing game record for the Falcons against the Bucs last year. Could he do that? Sure. Will he? I don't know. Josh is up next. Josh.
Hey, Turtle. Nice to talk to you. So, two things. First, Kirk Cousins. Yes, he's auditioning, but the man is posted up like a mailbox behind the line of scrimmage. He's going to get sacked a lot. I think Easton Stick would be able to avoid some of them. Give the man a shot because he's going to be our backup next year probably. Second thing is, and this is controversial, we need to probably trade Bijan Robinson and get some capital on top of that, because I have a feeling Tyler Algier is going to be Michael Turner 2.0. He's going to ball out somewhere. And I'll leave you at that and see what you have to say. But
I appreciate it. Listen, you're not trading Bijan Robinson. Let's keep it sane here. I know these are pretty insane times in Falcons land right now, but Josh, there's no scenario on earth where Bijan Robinson is not a Falcon for at least the overwhelming majority of his career. He's too good. He right now is also the face of your franchise and your best player. So that's just not going to happen. But listen, I understand when you get to this point as an organization, you start thinking desperate, man. You start thinking, woof, anything could be on the table, right? 404-726-0929. And as far as Easton Stick goes, Easton Stick is not an NFL quarterback. He's just not. I mean, the shell of Kirk Cousins is still far more worth exploring than to see what Easton Stick could give you. Easton Stick is one of those quarterbacks that you put him in, he looks good for a second, and then as soon as it's time to actually do something in a game, you remember why he's a practice squad backup player and not a starter. Shane's up next. Shane, what do you think?
I think I was not a fan of the Kirk Cousins media talk. It's not a funny joke to talk about how, hey, I won't say anything about my injury until next year or the end of the season or whatever he said. I don't really know where this team's going to go. I hope we can, still mathematically we can still make it if we win out, but I don't appreciate his funny jokes that he thinks he had. And
And I appreciate it. And neither do I. I really don't. I stand by what I posted on Twitter the other day. I thought it was wildly inappropriate for him to go there. It's not funny. It's not smart. It's not creative. It's uncouth is what it is. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm pearl-clutching, but you know what? Oren, I'm pearl-clutching on this one a little bit. I don't care. Let me pearl-clutch. This dude actively sabotaged your season last year to try to save his own butt. And you know what? He got benched anyway because he threw 9 interceptions and 1 touchdown in a 5-game span. Sorry. And then he went on NFL media during Super Bowl week when the most eyes are on the NFL for the entire year and said, well, you know, my shoulder, my elbow kind of busted up, so that's why I sucked. Really? And then you're going to come back and say, well, you know, if I was hurt, D-Led, I wouldn't tell you anyway. Get out of here. Get lost. Sorry. Like, again, the only reason I'm rooting for you is because I have to. There is no choice. This team needs to win a couple football games just to get the stench off of what the last 5 weeks have been like. It's been awful. But what do you think? Giles is up next. Giles.
That's me. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man.
I want to be clear that, look, our quarterback room's got talent in it. We've got Felipe Franks back there, and we got Kyle Trask, okay? Kirk Cousins can take a back seat to those guys. Secondly, I think you brought up the game this weekend. It's pretty clear that it five combined wins, there's just not a lot of hate talk coming out of the Saints camp. And honestly, it just doesn't feel like a rivalry game anymore because both of us really don't want this game to happen. I hope you agree.
No, yeah, and I appreciate the phone call, Giles. Thanks for checking in for the first time. It's about so much more than that right now. Like, the Falcons have so much going on internally, and we're so concerned here that every single day as I take the mic and talk to you guys about what's going on in Atlanta at Flowery Branch, that you're right. And that stinks. But you know what? Maybe if this is a classic game, the second one this year at home will be, you know, something that will spark that rivalry again, even though both teams are out of it. But right now, we're so much more concerned about what's going on with our business, with our stuff, Giles, that, yeah, it pretty much has taken the luster and taken the sheen and the shine off of the rivalry game, which is always one of the most fun times of the year. Not this year. The Falcons have way too much in-house keeping going on right now to worry about any rivalry game. And that's a shame. Scott's up next. Scott.
Hey, so frankly, I don't care what Kirk Cousins says. I mean, we've got way bigger problems than anything he could say at this point. I mean, the fact that Drake London is out, that means we have to rely on Butterfingers Mooney to be our number one receiver. And then we have to rely on Kyle Pitts, who acts like he doesn't even want to be on the field. So to think that Cousins is going to go out there and throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns, I don't see it. I don't see it at all. We don't even have the receiving core to do that. Our best hope is that Divine Diablo, who I think is coming back, stuffs there, helps on defense and stuffs Kamara in the running game, and we get into a defensive win. We win on defense, and we kind of run the clock out with Bijan. I think that's our best hope. I mean, I think that, but I also think we have to face the fact that we have a very real possibility that the Saints could win because we're so dysfunctional right now, and it's just going to bury Terry Fontenot and his coaching staff if the Rams end up getting what looks like a top five pick, if not higher, top three potentially. It's just going to look that much worse because of everything going on right now. So thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, Scott. Listen, I don't think anybody, Oren, I don't think anybody's saying the Falcons are going to waltz in there and win this game. As a matter of fact, Scott, I think it's the opposite. You know, Scott, I know you're an avid listener to the show, and I appreciate our chats. You know my stance on this. I said it loud and clear last week. The Falcons can win any game on their schedule for the rest of the season. I truly believe that, even without Penix. I truly believe there's enough talent, especially defensively, that if they're clicking, they can win any game for the rest of the season. Should they win any game for the rest of the season? Absolutely not. They have not earned that benefit of the doubt. I don't care if it's the Saints. I don't care if it's the Jets. I don't care if it's a rematch versus Tampa. The Atlanta Falcons should not be given a right to win any game this season. They haven't earned it. They should not be feeling like they can waltz in on any given Sunday and win a game. That is not the tack that should be taken. They are not the Chiefs. They are not the Bills. They are not they're not even the Packers. They're not even, you know, some of the Ravens this year. They're not even some of the middling teams right now. Sorry, they're just not. 404-726-0929. DeVaris is up next. DeVaris.
What's good, Turtle?
Yo.
I appreciate you for having me on. Me and my dad are long-time listening, so I appreciate you.
Thank you.
I want to start off by that. And I just want to say, I can see the Falcons winning 5-4, four of the games left on their schedule. I don't think it's been a big difference in the offense with Penix at quarterback. I feel like, if anything, this year he's insured a big payday for Drake London coming soon. But also, I feel like Kirk Cousins did the same for Mooney last year. So who's to say Mooney doesn't step up to the plate while Kirk is in the rotation this year? So I feel like they shouldn't try to run Bijan in the ground, because I feel like this year it's going to be in the trash can. We might as well just save him for next year, pretty much. And due to the fact of Penix's injury history, I believe he has another, like, torn ligament in his leg or his knee or something like that. I honestly think we should package up him or Kirk Cousins and go get Shedeur Sanders. He needs a team. I feel like Atlanta is a great city to embrace Shedeur and the type of swag that he has. And his dad used to play here. I feel like this would be a perfect fit. But I honestly feel like the only games that are for sure losses are the Rams, the Seahawks, and maybe Tampa Bay. But I don't really fear the Saints like that. I feel like we can beat them. I don't respect their offense. I'm not worried about Kamara. I think our defense is pretty good this year. But I can see us getting 5-4 wins with Kirk Cousins at the helm.
No, DeVaris, again, that's exactly what I was just saying. Like, literally, it's funny you bring that up. That's what I was literally just saying. The Falcons can win any game that's left on their schedule. They absolutely can. Should they? No. It is not a God-given right that they should win any game, whether it's the Saints, the Jets, or otherwise. As far as Shedeur Sanders, man, I don't know. He's not proven. I mean, could you say – here's what it comes down to. If Terry Fontenot – well, we don't. If Terry Fontenot's here, God, there's so many caveats to all of this. If whoever the GM is here and says at the start of the offseason, Michael Penix Jr. remains the future in Atlanta, period, and we just need a stopgap guy, could you take a flyer on Shedeur Sanders? I mean, I guess it wouldn't cost you anything. And like you said, he fits the culture here in Atlanta, but I think they need to go after a more proven quarterback. I really do. He's about to make his, what, first start in the NFL, second start in the NFL? We'll see how he does, but there's so many tentacles to this, man. It's fascinating. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. You're first up when we get back. More of your calls, 404-726-0929. Lines are still jammed, so going to get right back to you talking about Kirk Cousins in the state of the Falcons, man. He's it. I mean, it's unbelievable. It really is. He's it for the next 7 weeks. How do you feel about it? And this team, no sense in tanking, man. They don't have a first-round pick. So we might as well win as many games as possible. Watch this young defense continue to grow. Hopefully Mooney finds his rhythm. Hopefully Bijan and Tyler finish strong. The offensive line finishes healthy. These are the things we need to look forward to now during these last 7 weeks and keep our eye on. And it all starts and ends, obviously, with the new QB1. Before we get back to the phones, tomorrow, join the morning shift at Publix on Memorial Drive in Atlanta for a special broadcast. Come on in and pick up your supplies for your weekend football parties, and come say hey to Allie, Mike, and Bo as they broadcast live from the store. It's all brought to you by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix. That's the morning shift tomorrow from 6 to 9 a.m. at Publix and Memorial Drive in the A on 92.9 The Game. 404-726-0929. We will start with KC. KC, lead us off.
Hey, I just want to say that we got a team that we hope that they do this. We haven't had a good offensive line in years since the 2016 team. We haven't had a real center. We're not going to accomplish anything with that offensive line that we have. I don't care Penix. I don't care Cousins. I don't care who you put out there. Our offensive line is weak. We need a real center, we need a real offensive line, and we need a deep threat wide receiver. I guarantee you, just like I guarantee we were going to the Super Bowl once we got Alex Mack, you get a real offensive line here with a real center, not somebody pretending to be a center, a real center, please, and we will win.
No, KC, listen, I appreciate it, man. The offensive line, but KC, to your point, we got to be fair, right? I mean, the offensive line has not been healthy. Bergeron has been out. Hopefully he's back this week. You lose your right tackle for the season. So KC, as frustrating as it is, and Neusel, he's been okay. He's certainly not been great. At least he can get the ball to the quarterback. Drew Dahlman couldn't do that the last couple of years. But you're right. I mean, could you upgrade on the offensive line? Absolutely. Would I say that's the main problem, though? Casey, that's where I got to disagree. Michael's up next. Michael.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I agree with you 100% on the Kirk Cousins stuff. Absolutely just gross that we got to watch that the rest of the year. As for the rest of it, I think the fans are obviously in a real bad spot right now. It's just a tough time to be a Falcons fan, but I think we got to calm down on the trade Bijan, trade Drake London stuff. That stuff's got to chill. I mean, it's not time to blow everything up and sell all your young stars, but I think we do definitely got to reevaluate the head coaching job, front office type stuff. I think that's where we're at.
Yeah, it's a good call. Appreciate it. 404-726-0929. Good stuff there for Michael. But the problem is, here's the problem, Michael. Who in the world is going to be making those decisions? Is it going to be Raheem? Is it going to be Terry? Is it going to be Arthur Blank? Is it going to be Rich McKay? Is it going to be all new people? Is it going to be none of those people? I don't know. And nobody knows. That's the frustrating part about it. And that's why this team feels like it's in such limbo right now. Because we have no idea the direction that this team is going to go. A new regime could come in and say, we're getting rid of Kirk. We're bringing in competition for Penix. We're changing the entire offense. And that's it. Or they could say, we're giving Terry one more year because his draft was so good, but Raheem's got to go, or vice versa. And that's, Michael, the most frustrating part about it. I agree with you 100%. Yo is up next. Yo.
What's happening, Turtle? Good evening, Atlanta. I want to just give shots out to KC for coming in here and saying something I was going to say, but I want to just take it a step further. Look, the best player on our team, offense and defense, is Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson is a running back. He is a running back in the mold of Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders was plagued with the exact same problem Bijan Robinson is. He ran behind an offensive line that was subpar. Now, no matter what people want to say about how much we're paying some of the players on our offensive line, we cannot deny the ineffectiveness of our offensive line. We have now gone 7 years, and this will be the eighth, where we cannot just take the ball, hand it to the running back, and get 1 yard on third and one or third and goal. This is a problem. This is a systemic problem. And it's because we have decided that we are so loyal to guys that we drafted, and we're just going to stick with them no matter what, that we are blinded by the idea that our offensive line—
Are you advocating for getting rid of Chris Lindstrom? Like, what are you advocating for?
Well, there's two people on this offensive line that really need to go. And obviously, McGarry's not here this year. I didn't want him here this year anyway, but it is what it is. He's hurt. But Lindstrom cannot block the defensive tackles in our division. And that is the most important part about the NFL. If you cannot block them, you cannot beat them. And Jake Matthews, he has been a historic, stellar pillar of our society here. But it's a young man's game. So if you don't plan for the future, you're going to be beat by the future. Anything that is going to be done by this current staff, whether it's Raheem and Terry or the new HC and GM, they're going to look at this offensive line and say, we got a $26 million right guard who cannot block Mr. Brown or Vita Vea.
No, and that's listen, yo, I got you, man. Your line was breaking up. That's why I got to let you go. Appreciate you checking in. As always, just had a bad connection. 404-726-0929. You're right. I mean, I can't say you're wrong. Derek Brown ate Chris Lindstrom's lunch, especially in that first game this season against Tampa. We saw what Vita Vea did in the first game versus Carolina in the first game against Tampa with Vita Vea. We saw it. So you're not wrong. But they're still two of the best at their position. And when this offensive line is whole, I think right tackle really is the spot where you could have upgraded. But like you said, that's a moot point. I had Coach Driver hit me up and says he agrees with Mr. Yo. Everything begins and ends with the offensive line. We get better O-line play. This will look like a totally different team. I just don't know where the upgrade. I mean, are you gonna get rid of Jake Matthews? Really? I mean, I guess you're gonna kick him inside and move Bergeron to tackle. I mean, I don't know. I don't outside a right tackle. I'm just not sure where the, you know, are you gonna give up on Neusel after 1 year? I guess you could. You could draft a center. Maybe that's what you do with your second round pick. You draft a center. Again, to Yo's point, to Coach's point, like everything's on the table. So I'm not poo-pooing anything right now. I'm trying to point out that I think the biggest problem with this, and we all know how I feel, is coaching. And then number two is quarterback. So that's why, you know, we're talking about that tonight. But at the end of the day, offensive line is critically important. I would never deny that. 404-726-0929. Dylan's up next. Dylan. Up. Let's go to John. John is up next.
Hey, how you doing? It's good to talk to you again. Yeah, definitely the offensive line. I can't watch them anymore. It's too frustrating. It's too painful. I have this crazy idea. Maybe just go out and sign Dalton, and then sign a good wide receiver, and then work on the offensive line in the draft. Not replace anybody, but get them some support. Get them. When they go down, put somebody new in there and get some reps. I'll listen to your answer online.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, but ironically enough, Kyle Hinton and Elijah Wilkinson haven't been terrible. That's the thing. They haven't been awful. Are they like all pro level players? Obviously not. They're nowhere near that. But again, I think you're looking at center and you're looking at right tackle. If you're going to make upgrades on the offensive line, that's where it needs to be. Let's go finish up with Eddie. Eddie, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Turtle? So, first of all, let me preface by saying this. I think what Kirk Cousins did last year was despicable, and I think what his comments were in poor taste. That being said, one thing we get with Kirk is some executive presence and some leadership and some direction from the quarterback position. Right now, I feel like Drake and Bijan, they've kind of taken on the leadership position. Mike, he's just not ready. I've seen plenty of pictures on the internet with him sitting by himself, and I don't think he's checked out. He's just a true introvert. He's in his head. He's trying to get himself together, but you need some rah-rah from the quarterback position, and we get that with Kirk, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. I think that's essentially what the upside is, right? Eddie just laid it out there nicely. 404-726-0929. He's a vet. He's had success here before. And this team, in the worst way, needs to snap a 5-game losing streak. Good stuff on the phones, 404-726-0929. If you can't get through like Coach did, hit me up on Twitter, at C Thomas Radio. When we get back, let's switch gears for a quick sec and talk some Hawks with Caleb Johnson. They're looking to get one in San Antone without Wemby tonight. Can they do it? We'll find out next. Back with you here on 92.9 The Game. Again, so appreciative of everyone who's called in. This week had very spirited discussions once again about the state of the quarterback position, state of the Falcons, and where this team goes from here. Got a Saturday show coming up. I'll be on right about 4 o'clock, and we'll continue the conversation then as the Falcons and Saints get underway. 4:25 kick right here on 92.9 The Game. And, of course, you know, I got the flyover. We're taking your calls, win or lose, no matter what happens. But right now, let's talk about a team in town that's actually doing something. It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you till 7:30. Caleb Johnson joins me on the WadeFord.com hotline. Caleb, I know not the results you wanted against the Pistons, but I think a surprise to some that Cade Cunningham did play in that one and put up 25 points. But outside of that, been a really successful stretch for this team. What have you noticed have been some of the biggest elements? I guess let's start with a guy like Onyeka Okongwu, who really seems to be unlocked right now.
Yeah, he's been one that I think all of this, like when you go back to when the Hawks ultimately drafted him and saw him as this, I hate to make the comparison to Al Horford, but an undersized big who is so skilled and has that ability to switch the 4 and 5, that it gives you so much more that you can do with your offense. And then he has those defensive capabilities as well. The way he's come around with that 3-point shot, Chris, I mean, it is a legitimate shot for him now. And we're 2 years really into this process where he's actually shooting them, because last year was really the first year where at a typical clip, you know, he might give you 1 to 2 a game. And now we're reaching a point where Onyeka's shooting 40% on the season from 3-point. I mean, it is truly unreal, that element of his game that's been unlocked. And it allows the Hawks to be able to stretch the floor. And I think while Trey has been out, there's been the thought of, well, guys need to step up. And that's always easier said than done. But certainly Onyeka and his play, and I mean, you start throwing in Jalen Johnson also as well, and Nikhil, and you start going down the list. But I do think so much of what Onyeka has done has been filling in not only for Trey, but also when you've had Kristaps Porzingis kind of in and out of the lineup through the early parts of the season.
You mentioned Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Was it, in your opinion, known throughout the league that he could contribute this way as a starter?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why the Hawks were seen as so highly rated for their offseason pickups, because people had been noticing what Nikhil was doing with the Timberwolves, kind of playing alongside Anthony Edwards, and then a lot of the times playing in place of him when he was either injured or just off the floor. Like, this has been something that's been in the works for a few seasons now, because, you know, the one thing is, as young as the Hawks are, like, Nikhil's not exactly a super young guy. I mean, he's 27. He's been around the league for a while. He had to figure it out. He often talks, and Dyson talks about, maybe to some extent, their introduction to the league being with the Pelicans, and maybe they wouldn't say the word disaster, but what a disaster that organization can be and dysfunctional it can be. And we're even watching it play out clearly, like, this season as well. And so to get out of that, and then, you know, he got those opportunities, albeit pretty small, in Utah with Quinn. And then really it was once he hit Minnesota that expanded role kind of continued on. But, you know, I mean, he's playing the most minutes he's played of his career. And then that point production is just when it kind of like with Dyson, when you give him more opportunity, then all of a sudden the production starts to follow. I think the thing with Nikhil is just cleaning up the turnovers, which have, you know, kind of been a bit of an issue. And there, when he was playing alongside Trey, you know, it was kind of, and even right when Trey got hurt and he had to come in and step in to a bigger offensive role, it was just something he had to kind of clean up. And I think he, for a lot of the, you know, for the most part, has kind of, he figured things out so far. And I think this team has figured a lot of things about themselves out so far.
What is the latest on Trey? I feel like we haven't gotten an update in a while.
Yeah, so from the initial injury, it was going to be 4 weeks until he was going to be reevaluated. So that injury came on the 29th of October. And so, you know, judging from that, we're about a week away from getting an update. And you know, that's a reevaluation, not meaning he was going to come back in 4 weeks. I, to the best of my knowledge of looking at other injuries that are other players that have experienced similar injuries that Trae Young is dealing with, I think 6 weeks is the most optimistic return. So, you know, you're talking second week in December, potentially for that opportunity. It's just one of those, you know, not particularly ideal, you know, for it to be taking this long, but at the same time, like, you don't want to rush a guy like Trey back, because you certainly, you know, this is not the type of thing that you want to see a re-injury with him, you know, having to deal with.
Breaking down all things Hawks as they take on the Spurs tonight in San Antonio, minus Victor Wembanyama. We'll get to all the injuries in the NBA coming up here in a second. Make sure you check out his podcast as well, covering the Hawks and all things NBA. Listen, I mean, this game tonight is interesting. The Spurs young core is still pretty good without Wemby. So you think, oh, Spurs without Wemby, Caleb, that should be an automatic win. But not so fast. They have a lot of young talent.
Yeah, I would add, so it's not just Wimby that's out. It's also Stephon Castle, who, you know, I mean, he's the one that beat Zachary Risache out for Rookie of the Year last year. He's kind of been one of the big pieces, apart from De'Aaron Fox. But I think if the Spurs were to be really honest with themselves, like, they see more promise in what Castle brings to the table than necessarily what Fox does. And then Dylan Harper, the rookie, also out as well. And so it is going to be a lot of, you know, De'Aaron Fox with this team. And, I mean, you mentioned, like, they're still winning, even dealing with some injuries. They're still able to figure things out. They came up with a, I think it was like a one-point loss to the Warriors, you know, pretty recently on their schedule. But they've got some talent there. And I think it's more of guys are figuring out their roles. I kind of laugh at the teams that they've had in the past. I think of like a Jeremy Sochan who, man, he wanted to be the guy. Like when they brought in Wimby, it was like, I'm trying to remember the guy's name that used to play for the Cavs when they brought in LeBron James. But I remember a quote that's gone famous of them being like, oh yeah, like he's going to be great to play alongside us. And it was like, no, sir. Like this all-world superstar has been brought in to be the centerpiece. And so with guys like Devin Vassell and Julian, you know, Champagne, like they had to figure out that, hey, we had this development phase where a lot of us got to touch the ball and a lot of us got to put up shots because who else was going to take them? But now that you've got De'Aaron Fox kind of anchoring things at the point, you know, and ideally you have Victor Wembanyama, you know, down low in the middle, there's just a different form of how this team is getting put together. But I mean, you know, I think they're like 10-4 right now.
Yeah,
the
10-4,
of the season, like,
7-2 at home, and the Hawks are 7-2 away, by the way. So if something's got to give game, Caleb.
Well, that's it. Is like the Hawks have been far better. You think of like a guy like V. Cressy has shot the lights out away from State Farm Arena. For whatever reason, you know, when he gets home, it hasn't necessarily been the same luck. But yeah, this Hawks team, it's been a really good sign. I mean, going 5-0 on a West Coast road trip certainly helps those odds. But they look good on the road so far early.
All right, so what do you make of all of these injuries to stars in the league right now? I've heard a lot of national conversation about pace of play, about do they need to reduce the games, because it's not like it was in the 90s where guys are getting hurt because they're getting elbows in their chest. It's all these soft tissue injuries, Caleb.
Yeah, I think the speed of the game for sure, I think, plays an element of this. Tom Haberstroh of Yahoo Sports was one that he wrote an extremely fascinating article. He put it out there that NBA stars are missing twice as many games as they were in 2023. Like, this isn't we're going back 10 years ago. We're going back 2 years ago where stars are missing twice as many games. You know, and clearly Trey's in the mix of that. John Morant has, you know, played a part in that. Victor Wembanyama, like, the list kind of goes on and on and on. But I think it is the style of play with so much cutting being involved and guys, you know, knees, ankles, as you mentioned, like soft tissue stuff is really being affected here. And I don't necessarily know how we change that. It's kind of when you look at the game of baseball and you go, okay, well, guys are having a lot more Tommy John surgery these days because you're throwing 100+. Now, who's going to be the one who goes out and says, well, pitchers need to start throwing and max out at 95? Like, no one's going to do that. No one's going to tell the NBA to slow down the game. Maybe they introduce, you know, some rules that can potentially slow down the game. I don't really know an answer, quite frankly. It's just one of those things that you wonder if strength training and that side of, you know, the sports science side of the game gets involved more, and they try to do essentially what is happening with Kristaps Porzingis right now, where they're being very careful with his injuries. And I feel like the Hawks fans need to understand something of, if Kristaps Porzingis is being held out of games in October and November and December, and the Hawks are winning, which is what's been happening right now, and then he's available come postseason time, that is the most ideal scenario. I've seen a lot of Hawks fans freaking out over the number of games that Kristaps has already missed, and I just want to be like, hey, as long as this team isn't going on super ugly losing streaks, like maybe pump the brakes, and the Hawks know what they're doing as far as trying to save a player for when they know it's going to matter the most.
Well, and before I let you go, that's interesting to me because I know me and you talked about it on this very program. I said if you get 60 to 65 productive games from Kristaps Porzingis, sign me up. So I'm surprised to hear that.
You know, it's been social media where I've seen it lately, and I've either seen it myself or I've had friends of mine send it to me where, you know, we're talking like big members of Hawks fan base, like people who are widely recognized are calling out Kristaps for like, man, it'd be great if our $30 million player, you know, actually played, you know, more than he sat. And it's like, hold on, this is early in the season, and seeing what this team has been able to pull off with the fact that, like, the way that Mo Gay has stepped up for this team has been so crucial and so beneficial, because it's not just an injury thing. Like, if you're able to go to the postseason and get 4 solid minutes from Mo Gay in a crunch, you know, situation because of the experience he's getting in October and November, and you also at the same time saved Kristaps, and he let him be as healthy as he possibly can come that time. Like, this is all working together. And so I feel like, I sometimes fans can just be so used to, hey, we want guys, because Michael Jordan played 82 games a season, we want everybody to play 82 games a season. And I hate to break it to people, but it's just like, it's not the same game. And it's not the same era, and things are being treated differently. And unfortunately, you know, people might not always like it. But I think, you know, the Hawks are really doing what's best for their interest long term.
Yeah, no, I agree. My stance on it hasn't changed. If he gives me between 60 and 65 productive games, that's a successful season. All right, Caleb, appreciate it. We'll chat soon.
All right, sounds good, man.
All right, that is Caleb Johnson there. When we get back to wrap things up, we will make our picks. Can I get back in the mix? Dare I take Georgia minus 43.5? Versus Charlotte, I might have to. We'll make our picks next to close out the show. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 7:30. Final few minutes here on Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 7:30. Hawks pregame comes your way then. Should be a fun one. We just talked to Caleb Johnson about it, broke it all down. No Wemby tonight, which is unfortunate. You always like to see the Stars play, but no Trey either. So, battle of the other guys, the guys that are contributing right now for the Hawks. We talked about them, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Dyson Daniels, Onyeka Okongwu. There are so many guys that are playing pivotal roles. And Jalen Johnson, he's right back to being the emerging star that we thought he would be. 22 points a game, almost got a triple-double the other night. Dude has been on fire and got an accolade. Or what was he, Eastern Conference Player of the Week? Yeah, so he's playing like an all-star right now, and we'll see if he gets recognized as such. Oren's playing like an all-star in the picks right now. I am playing
good
like
thing I'm doing well here, because I am not doing as well for Dukes and Bell right now. So
No.
I'm like 6 games under.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're all not doing – Day-Day's doing a little bit better than everybody else, as usual. But
maybe it's like, – because you know what? I used to do pretty well in those picks when I was the producer of the show.
Maybe it's something about sitting
in
that chair.
Might just be that seat.
Maybe.
Might just be that seat. Carl won 1 year. I don't think Mike ever won while I was the producer of the show. I think I won 1 year, and Carl won 2 years, if I'm not mistaken.
So if you add up those picks from that show and these picks from this show, I'm sitting right at 500. So depending on what time of the day you're listening, I'm either making you – I'm making and losing the same amount of money for everybody, I guess, is the best
way.
Well,
I'm only concerned with your picks on my program.
All right, that's cool. Let's just talk about us.
And you're 9 games over 500 here.
Let's just talk about us.
So that's really the only thing that I care about.
I appreciate that.
And we pick the same 4 games every week.
We do.
Thursday Night Football, we pick Georgia, we pick Georgia Tech, and, of course, we pick the Falcons. So let's start tonight. Interesting. It looks like I was hearing at the end of Dukes and Bell, the line moved a little bit on this one.
So it opened at 3.5, and I guess the news of C.J. Stroud not playing this week, the Sharps have got on it. So it has moved up now to 5.5.
Yeah, it moved up even from when I was recording it for the show sheet. I had it at 5, and now it's 5.5. This is an easy cover for me. Bills need this one to keep pace in the AFC. They're the better team. I don't care that they're on the road. Josh Allen is going to have a big game. I know, well, the one thing that could slow this team down is Houston's pass rush because they got some dudes.
I think Mr. Anderson, Will Anderson, has a sack in like the last 5 games or something.
Yeah.
And Houston leads the NFL in yards given up per game at 250, while Buffalo's number one in the NFL in yards
per game.
Per game at like 380. So
they got that dude in Derek Stingley Jr. Yeah, I'm going to take Buffalo though. I think Buffalo cruises. I think they win by a touchdown. Maybe it's close for a while, but at the end of the day, Buffalo's too talented. They need the game to keep pace with Denver and Indy, and that'll be about all she wrote.
All right. This is a tough one for me.
Why?
Just because Buffalo's not playing great right now.
But it's Davis Mills.
It is Davis Mills, and Buffalo's defense is also not that great either. He's going to be missing Dalton Kincaid tonight, and Keon Coleman has been
is
a healthy scratch. You never want to hear that. So it's tough. This is a tough one for me. Man, I think Chris, I think I'm going to Riverside you here, buddy.
Wow. Oh, boy.
I think I'm going to go Texans plus the 5.5.
Oh, I don't like this.
Whoa.
Am I just burying myself off the rip here? Because you've been so hot. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, next up, let's move to Georgia Tech. -2.5, Pitt coming to town. Do you trust them in a big spot here? This is their biggest spot of the season. Can they get it done? I think if they do win, it definitely won't just be by a field goal. Haynes King was just on SportsCenter. He's getting the national love.
Getting the love, man.
I'm going to take Tech because I think they need this one, duh. And I think they win by – I think they win by, again, at least a touchdown. I'm going to take Georgia Tech to cover the 2.5.
I'm not going to Riverside this one, no. Yeah, give me Tech -2.5. I like the 2.5. That's a small enough line to where, I don't know what Pitt is.
Pitt just got embarrassed.
They did. Now, they to their credit, I guess, their coach was like, hey.
We don't care about losing this
isn't an ACC game, so it didn't matter to us. But
what a weird thing for Pat Narduzzi to say.
Yeah.
Huh? And then they go out and they get stumped.
Promptly did not care about that game, yes.
Oren? It is a gargantuanly big number.
Do it?
It is an insanely big number.
If Kirby covers this will be like the first plus 38, 39, the first time he's covered a spread that large in like 7 years. Something insane, dude.
They just don't do that.
They don't. Kirby doesn't do it.
They just don't do that.
Like I got lucky this year with the one game I took them earlier in the season. I Riverside you on that one where they covered. But that was like, I think, 27, 28 or something. But this one is a huge number, man.
I can't do it. Give me Charlotte plus 43.
Oh, my goodness.
Give me Charlotte plus 43.5. I can't do it.
All right.
I can't do it because, like, even –
I don't know why I'm over here excited. Like, you just made – I'm going to take that, too, by the way.
Yeah, so. I mean, I can't – I want to because they can. Like, that's my logic. Like, I want to because they can, but will they? I don't think they will.
This is going to be a game, too, that Kirby is hoping to get a lot of the guys because, you know, the college football now has the 4-game redshirt rule. So a lot of guys who haven't gotten to that 4th game yet – you want to see them get some action. So a lot of freshmen, a lot of redshirt guys, a lot of guys who haven't got a lot of run yet.
So you want Ryan Puglisi start in the second half?
Yes. You want Ryan Puglisi. You want all those freshmen that are just – you want freshmen. You want the running back out of Southeast Atlanta. Southeast DeKalb County, the guy with the Cedar Grove. Like, you want all those guys to get a ton of run this Saturday. This is the game, right next to call. This is the game where you make sure your mama's watching. You make sure your mama's there. She's going to see you play.
Can't do it. I can't do it. I want to do it because it would help. But I don't want to just tank my season.
That's a tank,
by making stupid picks. All right.
That would be a tank.
Last one. Falcons Saints.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Can they do it? Do they stop the slide? You know what this is, Orin? This is a pride game.
It is. It really is.
This is a pride game.
You've lost your starting quarterback. You've lost your number one receiver. Your offensive line is beat up. You've heard for the last 2 weeks how not great the offense and defense and like all three phases for this team. You've heard the last 3 weeks how just bad they are out on the field. So
give me the Falcons. Give me the Falcons.
You know what, Chris? I'm going to take that as well. Give me the Falcons to stand up and win that ball game.
All right. Should I have taken Georgia? Oh, boy. I'm going to be thinking about this all weekend now. Good job, Bo. Appreciate everybody who checked in, everybody who called. Enjoy the Hawks basketball. This should be a fun one in San Antonio. Can the guys continue to stay hot, or will San Antonio prove to be too much? Let's find out next. Let's go, Hawks.